Hello, and you're very welcome to this week's Roscommon and GA Memories with myself, Aidan Raffrey, and of course, as always, the legendary Ray Lannan. Hello, Ray. How are you? So we're talking about the 1989 minor Connacht football final between Roscommon and Galway, and what a game that proved to be in more ways than one. We all know the way it ended. That's what was a cracking penalty, but it was a controversial penalty in many ways.
Yeah, well, first I want to take you to task with legendary. We'll do our best, as the man says, you know. So
in your playing days,
ordinary at best. Aidan, the 1989 Conor Minor final was an incredible, dramatic game, probably one of the most dramatic and controversial games in the history of Roscommon football, or even Connacht football for that matter. The minor game was played as the curtain raiser to the senior final at Castlebar on the 23rd of July 1989. It was a glorious sunny day. I was at the game, and the minor game was full of events and controversy, and it rolled on for a week or so, and then eventually there was a replay. But the crux of it was that Roscommon, on the day, the official final score of this Conor Minor final in 1989, 23rd of July, was Galway 2-8, Roscommon 13 points. And as we all remember, Roscommon won the game on the day. The final event in the match was a penalty awarded to Roscommon, and Roscommon were trailing by a point. It looked like Padraig Glennon was shaping up to take the penalty, Pádraig Pearse's man. Roscommon had already missed the penalty. Now, Shane Curran missed the penalty earlier on in the match, but as the Pádraig Glennon approached the ball, or was about to approach the ball, make his run up to approach the ball, Shane came from behind and he just blasted the ball past Joe Mitchell in the Galway goals. And that, on the scoreboard, the green flag was raised. The referee raised his hand. Now, whether he raised his hand to confirm the goal or what, one of the reports says he raised his hand anyway. And the scoreboard showed Roscommon 1-13 and Galway were 2-8. And to all intents and purposes, Roscommon had won the game. Next thing, they're brought over, they're awarded the cup, and they do a lap of honour. Now, the late Donald Keenan was the man who presented the cup to the Roscommon captain, who was lurking out. And Roscommon did a lap of honour, and I can still remember Roscommon team doing a lap of honour, because I was sitting in the terraces towards the bacon factory end of the ground, you know, in Castlebar. And I remember the team running around the pitch in the sunshine and everybody going, you know, up on their feet and so happy that Roscommon had won the minor. It was the first Roscommon minor success since 1984, and that was a replay as well, where Roscommon beat
Mayo. Really, Ray, when you look at it, if you think about that penalty that he did miss earlier on in the match, if he had scored that, and then, you know, if he had scored that penalty, the penalty at the end wouldn't have entered into the equation, like, because they would have won the game anyway.
Oh yeah, but Shane missed the earlier penalty, but sure, yeah. Like, even the best
of them. But it's pretty seldom he missed a penalty. He was always very good from penalties.
Yeah, and do you know what? Shane scored a penalty in the replay. Now, we'll get to that in a minute, but he missed that penalty, and Pádraig Glennon was shaping up to take the second penalty, and it looked like maybe he was going to put the ball over the bar. We don't know for certain, but Shane Curran came from behind, and he blasted it with great power and accuracy to the net. Now, the problem was that, you know, Aidan, for a penalty, everybody has to be outside the 20-metre line except the kicker.
Yeah.
So when Shane kicked the ball, both he and Pádraig Glennon were still positioned inside the 20-metre line, contrary to the rules. And that's where the trouble started. Now, the green flag was waved by one of the referee's umpires, and the goal was registered on the scoreboard. And the goalkeeper, Joe Mitchell, and a few of his teammates brought Pádraig Glennon's position into the referee's notice. Now, the referee was a guy called John Cosgrave from Mayo, and he would have been put under a lot of pressure. Now, the referee seemed for a moment that he was signalling for the penalty to be taken again. Several Galway players told that to one of the newspapers after the game, that the referee was sort of signalling for a retake. But the referee got increasingly sort of got at by the Galway players, and he was steered off course, and he was spirited, like this is the last kick of the game, he was spirited away to the dressing room by local stewards. So there was sort of like confusion, there was a lot of pressure on the referee, confusion reigned, and then Roscommon were presented with the cup by the County Council patron, Donald Keenan, and they set off in that lap of honour that I was talking about. Now, later in the evening came the announcement that Galway had been declared the winners. Now, this is hours after the game, later in the evening, after the games committee at the County Council formally met and adopted the referee's report. So the referee did his report after the game and he submitted it straight away. Now, people are saying that's very, very quick for that to be done. So Galway were awarded the game without being awarded the cup, and they were told that evening that they were going to advance to play Derry in the All-Ireland semi-final in the middle of August in Croke Park. So that was the key part of it, that Roscommon on paper or on the scoreboard had won on the day, but then in the evening time, in the boardroom, if you like, the game was taken off them, and Galway awarded the cup. But here's the problem that the GAA had. There was no clear indication that the goal was disallowed, Aidan, because usually when a goal is officially disallowed, the two umpires gather the two flags, the green and white flag, and they cross them so that everybody is under no illusion that the score has been struck down. You know, there's no illusion. In this game, that never happened. The scoreboard showed a goal.
So then, sorry, because of that, then Roscommon would have had a case because I suppose the awarding of the game to Galway wasn't done in the proper manner, then you could argue that.
Well, suppose the referee's report is final, Aidan. Whatever the referee puts in his report is who won the game, is who won the game. Do you know, you might see it the odd time in club football down the years where a team may have won a game by a point in the referee's report, but the opposition might say it was a draw. Like, it can't happen. Referees are just human. You know what I mean? You hear about that the odd time. I've heard it once or twice where in the referee's report, a certain team won the game, but other people said the scoreboard showed a draw, and you know that can happen. Referees are human; they're a brilliant group of people. Without them, whatever about the corporations, sponsorship, and TV and everything else. Without the referees, the GAA and sport in general are grounded. You know, it's like a plane without a pilot, and they deserve so much credit. The referees in soccer, Gaelic, curling, rugby, they are the people without whom, no game can go ahead. And like you see there, not so much now, but years and years ago, club matches, whether it be, say, a referee mightn't show up, or there might be an injury to a ref, or there might be a challenge match where one side provides the ref and it's biased, and it can be chaotic. So the referees are the great arbitrators of whether a game is played in the right spirit, to a large extent, because they can stamp down on wrongdoing fairly early in a game by, showing the yellow cards and maybe a red card if they feel it necessary. So we have to give credit to the referees. They're just at all levels of sport. Without them, we're going over. But this occasion, John Cosgrove, the referee, he went off the field at the end of the game. Roscommon were awarded the cup. They went on their lap of the field, and everybody felt Roscommon had won the game. Now, immediately after the game, Paddy Francis, the late great Paddy Francis Dwyer, who was secretary of Roscommon, Mr. FBD himself in Roscommon, he spoke to the reporters after the game. He was extremely upset that evening about the decision to award the Connacht title to Galway, and he was speaking the day after the game. He spoke to a reporter. He said we simply can't accept what has happened. He said, this is a very complex issue and the Connacht Council must examine it in great detail. Referee's report has been adopted as the final result, and we all know about the ref's decision being final, but this is not as simple as far as we're concerned. What stunned Roscommon was the delay in making it clear that Galway had been awarded the match. Indeed, up to early yesterday, that was Friday, the Friday after the game, they hadn't been officially notified of the outcome. Right?
Yeah.
And so they could not quickly decide how to lodge an appeal. So Paddy Francis was adamant that the umpire had not crossed the flag to show the goal was disallowed, and Roscommon had a strong case. And of course he was right.
And you see, the fact that the game was actually on TV, the evidence was clear as well, because they would have been able to go back through the highlights and show that particular incident, and it would have been clear that, that there was no crossing of the two flags. So therein was their case.
Yeah, he said this was unprecedented. Well, their case, Aidan, was that if the GAA authorities, the Connacht Council, presented the cup to Roscommon immediately after the game, That's the end of the matter. You know what I mean? If you have any tournament and the people who run on the tournament present the cup to you after the game, that should be the end of it. Do you know?
Yeah.
And that should nearly supersede any report, because once the cup is presented, like if there was a problem that should have been pointed out immediately after the game, the cup shouldn't have been awarded, and the cup, if anything, should have been awarded to Galway straight there and then. You know what I mean? And so anyway. Paddy Francis was adamant that the referee, the umpire, didn't cross the green and white flag, and the goal was not disallowed. Well, he was right. He wasn't disallowed. Whatever about the report says, Aidan, the goal wasn't disallowed. So he queried the haste in which the referee, John Cosgrove, was got his report to the kind of council. He said this was unprecedented. He said, we point out too that the ref raised one hand in the air, which looked like a signal for the goal to stand. You know the way a referee always, if he points his finger or hand in the air just to confirm to everybody that he's writing it down in the book, you know, that sort of thing. He also, he says, we point out the referee, no matter how we look at it, the whole affair was a shambles and justice has not been done. You couldn't agree more with him. So there was photographs shown, like, of course, Paddy Lennon and Shane Curran were very close to each other, you know, when the kick was taken. And then the referee, John Cosgrove, retrieved the ball from the net, and then Roscommon were presented with the cup. But the game itself, Aidan, we come to the game. Roscommon led by 9 points to 6 at half time, and they were the far the better team. Now, we'll come to the conclusion of the story in a few minutes, but I'll just give you the detail of the game itself, just to let our listeners know what happened in the game. And what happened was the Roscommon led by 9 points to 6 at half time, and they were by far the dominant team, you know. Now, as I said earlier, the goal that didn't stand was so badly communicated that confusion gave way to chaos. So Roscommon had thought they'd won the match, and they were presented with the cup and set off on the thing. But it wasn't until later on that evening, while the Galway team were unwinding after the trauma of it all in their hotel in Castlebar, that they were told of their victory. So Galway played very badly. Roscommon played very well. All the reports said Fergal O'Donnell dominated the centre of the field together with Lorcan Dowd. Now, Lorcan Dowd was sent off with 11 minutes to go. And now the reporter said that he was Roscommon's best player, and he was ridiculously sent off for a minor offence, a second minor offence he was booked earlier. And that was 11 minutes from time. So Roscommon dominated the midfield. Galway brought out a guy called Michael Donnan to midfield. Now, it wasn't the Michael Donnan that played with John O'Mahony. It was another Michael Donnan, a guy called Michael Donnan from Corrifin. There was two Michael Donnans in Galway. So
just to confuse things.
Yeah. So Niall Finnegan was the man who really kept Galway in it. Now he scored 2 goals and 4, 5 points. Niall Finnegan did. He of course, remember him, Aidan. He scored the equaliser against us in 98 in Tuam, you know, against Roscommon in the senior game. So he was involved in everything.
Great player.
Ah, he was a good player, yeah. He was fouled, you know, and he scored 2-5, you know. Derek Duggan sent over Roscommon's first score of the game. He was in St. Charles at the time. He had 2 more points, Derek had. Roscommon led 6-3, but then they missed a penalty. Shane Curran missed a penalty. He blazed wide. He says Roscommon should have, Roscommon should have killed off Galway, but they only led by 9.6 at the break. And then in the second half, Aidan, early in the second half, Galway got a goal from Niall Finnegan to draw level. Well, they got a goal to draw level, 1-8 to 11 points. Niall Finnegan scored a goal to make it 1-8 to 11 points. And then they got a penalty 5 minutes from the end. Niall Finnegan scored that again. So it was now Martin Costello was from Castlereagh. He played left half back for Roscommon. He scored a point for Roscommon. It was very, very good. But then Galway got the penalty 5 minutes from the end with Niall Finnegan. A guy called Brian Ford was brought down heading for goal, and Finnegan showed the courage then to take the penalty according to reports. And then a quick free from Roscommon replied, and then with 7 minutes to go, Galway were 2 points clear. And then for the last gas penalty, how did it come about? He said, the report said there were 7 or 8 players in the goal mouth, in the Galway goal mouth, when a high ball dropped in, and the referee deemed that a Roscommon player was fouled. Paddy Glennon left full forward from Pádraig Pearse's, was instructed to take the point and the kick and probably settle for a point to send it to a replay, but Shane Curran blasted it to the net. So here we have it. Absolute mayhem in Castlebar. And one of the reports says that the Marx brothers, Laurel and Hardy, and the Three Stooges in their heyday could not have produced a better farce than the ending we had to the Castle kind of final, minor final in McHale Park on Sunday. So that's strong stuff. Roscommon got the cup and proceeded to do a lap of honour. The Galway players, almost in tears within the match, were later awarded the game, and 20,000 spectators were treated to a mystery pantomime performance. So this reporter says that Alfred Hitchcock would have been proud with the grand finale performance, which fooled everybody. And it said also taking an Oscar for the best supporting actor performance was Roscommon centre forward Shane Curran, the player who shocked his own colleague Patrick Lennon by blasting, beating him to the run up to a last second penalty, which ensured a finish cocooned in confusion. So very well written by this reporter. You know, he's using the old analogy of Hollywood, as the man says. So he says, 2 years ago at Castlebar, the Magnus Arts group put on a comic football match, but if only on the grounds of dramatic impact, they would have had to be outshaded by the ending of this game. As the match ticked into the third minute of injury time, with Scotland corner forward, Pádraig Lennon meticulously placed the ball for the last kick of the match, which is a penalty, which if goal would have won the match for Roscommon, a point would have ensured a replay. And then, to the astonishment of Glennon, the bemusement of the Galway goalie, centre forward Shane Curran charged through in a manner which would have done the Light Brigade proud and cannoned the ball to the roof of the Galway net. Roscommon went into jubilation, Galway went into a state of shock, and the referee went into hiding, whisked off stage by three stewards whose memories of Bastille Day were still oblivious, obviously too fresh in their minds. The scoreboard read 113-28, and Roscommon, never a county to stare a gift horse in the mouth, triumphantly danced their way to the sideline where they were presented with the Minor Cup. After that, it was a whisper and a rumour time. Without as much as a public announcement about the outcome of the match, thousands of supporters chatted on the way home about Roscommon's last-ditch winner. And then members of the Connacht Council met in an emergency session after the senior match before word eventually emerged that the referee had disallowed Curran's goal, leaving Galway cupless. Leaving the cupless winners by 2-8 to 13 points. For the record, it must be said the referee was perfectly correct in disallowing the penalty. This is what the reporter says. No player other than the kicker and the goalie are allowed inside the 20-metre line. And thanks to Curran's impetuosity, Roscommon were flagrantly in breach of this rule. In the end, it was all about communication, and the referee, a figure out for yourselves routine, and failed to get the message across about the result, leaving the match in unmitigated fiasco category. After the ball had entered the net, referee John Cosgrove retrieved it and placed it again on the 13-metre line, but in jig time had been whisked away. So it looked like the referee was looking for the penalty to be retaken, Aidan, you know. Yeah. So he was whisked away through an exit by zealous stewards, with two Galway players pleading for a favourable scoreline. So the bizarre ending almost rendered what went before irrelevant. In the end, the fairest result of all would have been a draw. Maybe the intended penalty taker might have settled for a point and saved this conclusion. But again, the report says Galway's first half performance was dreadfully inept. Galway were going for their fourth title in a row, and they ambled through the first half devoid of purpose and commitment, apparently unable to cope with the physical power of Roscommon. Now again, he talks about Roscommon's Fergal O'Donnell and Lurkin Dowd siding through the Galway opposition, carving out a whole series of opportunities for an attack which could have the match wrapped up by half time. So it was a mix-up match for Dowd, who was dominating the midfield exchanges for three quarters of the match, found himself sent off for a harmless foul on Galway sub Conrad Wilson, a player who acquitted himself well. So Galway tried to redress, they made remedial action, you know, they brought Niall Finnegan to midfield, Michael Donnelly to midfield, and then Niall Finnegan sort of bailed them out with two goals. So, you know, the scoreline was 11-7 after the break, when Finnegan got his first goal, and then he scored his second goal with 7 minutes remaining. So it was a penalty. Finnegan got a penalty, and it came in off the cross. He scored it off the crossbar. So it was a real day for penalties, Aidan. 30 minutes into the first half, Curran blasted the penalty wide, as I said, Shane Curran did, and then that was an opportunity spurned, and then Dowd was sent off, Colm Kelly was moved to midfield, the Orton man, and then Roscommon, you know, should have won the game in normal time, according to all the reports, but it's ended up with a last minute penalty, which Shane Curran took, and the referee in his report disallowed the goal in, and eventually it ended up in a replay, which took place on Wednesday, the 2nd of August, 1989. But I'll just give you the Roscommon team for the drawing game, Aidan, before we go to the replay. Damien Craven of Clannagale was a goals, and Pádraig Rafferty of Tulsk, Ray Flynn of Orden, Leo Shields, Strokestown, John Birmingham, Michael Glavies, Sean Staunton, Orden, Martin Costello, Castlery, midfield Fergal Donner, Roscommon Gales and Lurkin Dowd, Western Gales, right half forward was Stephen Drury from Ballinamene, centre forward Shane Curran, Castlery, left half forward Derek Duggan, Castlery. He scored 4 points, 3 from frees, right full forward Paul Carty from the Gales, full forward Colm Kelly from Orden, he scored 2 points, and left full forward Patrick Lennon from Pierce's, he scored 2 points. Now, Paul Carty scored a point as well. Lurkin Dowd scored 2 points. Martin Costello scored a point. Now, the subs brought home were Paddy Kelly from Kilglass Gales for Sean Staunton, and Aidan Heenahan from Roscommon Gales came on for Drury, Aidan. So, yeah. Aidan Heenahan was a brother of Kieran's as well, that played for Roscommon for many years. And also, so, what a fiasco. You know, absolute mayhem, Aidan, in McHale Park on the 23rd of July, 1989. So there was backroom sort of discussions, there was probably negotiations, but I think what happened was the deal was done that Galway would replay the game with the Roscommon out of fairness, you know, and that's what happened on the 2nd of August 1989. Everybody went back to Castlebar for the replay, and on this occasion there was an equally dramatic game, but there was no real controversy. This game went to extra time. And Roscommon prevailed in extra time, Aidan, by 2 goals and 11 points to 15 points. And the hero of the hour was a guy called Eddie Ennis from St. Bridget's. He got the winning goal in extra time for Roscommon. So Roscommon won that game by 2 points. So, like, again, the reports talk about, John Cosgrove was the referee again. There was no controversy, but there was an abundance of drama as fortunes swayed dramatically during the 90 minutes of pulsating replay action. So after this game, Roscommon's minor footballers would surely go back to believing in fairy tales, given the scenario which have unfolded for them just over 10 days previously. And even going into the dying seconds of normal time, the Roscommon were losing by a point, same as what happened in Castlebar the first day. So to come back after all that and win was certainly the stuff the dreams are made of, and showed the spirit, the character.
It was a sense of deja vu in the replay then with that case.
Oh yeah, and showed the spirit, the character, and total disrespect for adversity shown by Roscommon. That few could dispute they were deserving of their victory, Aidan. Now, we have to give Jimmy Finnegan credit for that, because Jimmy Finnegan was the manager, Aidan, and like he would have instilled that character into them, because it would be easy for Roscommon to feel sorry for themselves and say, oh, we won that game and now we're being treated this way and we're not getting the cup, and we...
So they just put it aside and just say, right, we prepare for the semi-final, for the replay, like.
Yeah, fair play. Well, they didn't even know there was going to be a replay until probably the week after the drawn game, you know, because even the Friday after the drawn game, or after the first game, Roscommon didn't know that the final outcome. You know, there was no decision made on a replay, so the replay would have been maybe made over that weekend, they'd say, you know, the following weekend. And so Jimmy Finnegan deserves great credit, Aidan, for galvanising the team, you know. And so Roscommon showed disrespect for adversity and, you know, and they showed spirit and character to come back and win this game, and they deserved to win it. So it mattered little that the clinching goal 20 minutes into injury time was something of a Santa Claus effort from the Galway backs, who conveniently knocked down a Derek Duggan free in front of their own post to a grateful Eddie Ennis, who forced the ball home from close range. So 20 minutes into extra time, rather. So St. Bridgman, that put Roscommon 2-10 to 15 points ahead. And seconds later, when Galway's wing-back Tommy Wilson had a fierce goal-bound shot brilliantly turned around the post by Roscommon goalkeeper Damien Craven, the gods finally decreed that the Connacht minor final of 1989 should go to Roscommon. So Damien Craven, Aidan, was a great goalie. I remember him playing for the minor team. He was in Clannagale. Really, really good goalkeeper. And I remember in 89 he made some great saves all through the season. So he made a brilliant save to to basically a match winner save, because if Galway got that goal, they would have won. So yeah. It all seemed so different seconds from the end, when Galway were grimly hanging on to a 12.18 lead. This after full time, Tommy Geraghty had pointed with 30 seconds left to put Galway in the lead. So undaunted, Roscommon broke up field from a kick out, and when the opportunist corner forward Patrick Lennon picked up a pass from Shane Curran in space, he made no mistake for levelling the score. So there we have Shane and Pather involved again in equalising in this replay, and, you know, the two of them, you know, prominent. So that setback for Galway, instead of discouraging, only acted as a spur, and by the end of the first period of extra time, Aidan, Galway had forged ahead by 15 points to 110. Now, Galway didn't score in the second period of extra time. So that was points by Neil Finnegan and Brian Ford for Galway, plus Richie Lydon, Terence Morgan and Tommy Wilson. They got their scores. So Galway got 15 points at half-time and extra time, and Roscommon at 110. So Galway didn't score again. So it just shows how good Roscommon were in the last quarter of the game. So Roscommon's second goal was the Galway paper says, was a tragedy for Galway. And thanks singularly to the industry of Neil Finnegan, he kept them in the game. So midway through the first half, Finnegan had to retire injured. And with yeah. that, with Galway's chance of securing the scores needed to peg back Roscommon. Yeah, it was during extra time that Neil Finnegan had to go off. So that tells a lot. You know, when your main man has to go off, so Neil Finnegan had to go off halfway through the first period of extra time. So it was the report says it was entirely appropriate that the match wasn't without its penalty drama, given the circumstances of the draw match. So towards the end of the first quarter, Roscommon corner forward, it's the first quarter of the game, Roscommon corner forward Paul Carty was taken down in the square, and the player central to the drama in the first match, Shane Curran, stepped up and crashed the kick home. So although there was no shortage of goal mouth incident with both sides on numerous occasions on the point of snatching decisive goals, in the end it was Roscommon who struck for the two goals that mattered. So heroes for Roscommon: Aidan, Pádraig Rafferty from Tulsk, Sean Staunt and Orton, Paddy Kelly to Glasgow, Fergal O'Donnell, Roscommon Gales and Colm Kelly of Orton put in Trojan work for a physically stronger Roscommon side. But up front, the creativity and accuracy of Shane Curran, Derry Duggan and Patrick Lennon represented the main differences between the sides. And then Galway had, like, you know, Neil Finnegan was their main man, Tommy Wilson, Terence Morgan as well. So that was the drama, in high drama in Castlebar on the second occasion. But on this time, it was Roscommon who came out on top, and that put them through to meet Derry in the All-Ireland semi-final. I'll just give you the team from the replay, Aidan. The replay of that minor game in 1989, which took place on Wednesday, the 2nd of August, 1989. Again, Damien Craven was in goals for Clannagale. Right full-back, Pádraig Rafferty, Tulsk full-back, Sean Staunton of Orton. Left full-back, Leo Sheil of Strokestown. Right at back, Paul Owens came in right at back. Paddy Kelly came in centre back from Glasgales. And then Michael Martin Costello from Castlereagh left at back. Midfield, Fergal O'Donnell of Roscommon Gales and Colm Kelly of Orton. Then Stephen Drury was right half forward. He was from Ballinamene. Centre forward Shane Curran, Castlereagh, scored 1-1. Derek Duggan was left half forward. He scored 5 points, three from frees. Top of the right, Paul Carty of Roscommon Gales. Full forward Frank McNamara, Aidan. I think he was from, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was from Orton. No, he could be, yeah. It might have been Bridget, but I think it was Orton. And then top of the left, then Patrick Lennon, he scored 5 points as well. He scored two frees. So the heroes of the hour, Shane Curran got a goal, and then Aidan Heenahan came on for Frank McNamara. Eddie Ennis will be remembered as the man who scored the goal. He came on for Paul Carty in normal time, and he scored the goal with 10 minutes to go. And then extra time, John Birmingham from Michael Glavy's came on for Paul Owens. Tony O'Reilly from Castlereagh came on for John Birmingham. And then Frank McNamara came back on then for Aidan Heenan. So Frank McNamara came back on. So it was a dramatic year for Roscommon Miners. They went into that game, you know, Galway were the favourites to win that game. You know, they'd won four Connacht championships in a row. In fact, Galway had won the All-Ireland Minor in 1986, so they'd won, they were going for four in a row. They'd won 86, 87 and 88 in Connacht, and they were going for four championships. Yeah, for young players, the level of resilience they showed and character and spirit was incredible, because a lot of, as I said earlier, a lot of teams wouldn't have been able to deal with that trauma. That was a trauma. Imagine you're winning the Connacht Championship, you know. I was lucky enough, Aidan, on one occasion to win a Connacht Minor Championship in 1992. And if somebody came into us that night and says, oh, lads, you didn't win it, I'd know how it'd feel. You know, you wouldn't know how you'd... You know, the lads... And again, you have to give great credit to Jimmy Finnegan, the manager, because, like, the leadership comes from the top in any organisation, and particularly in football, you look to your leaders, and the guys you look to is the manager, first of all. That, see the Americans in Liverpool, like John Henry and Tom Werner, they all talk about Jurgen Klopp being a great leader. That's what they don't talk about being a manager, they talk about being a leader. You know, we said that before about Jack Charlton. Again, leadership is about, you know, transmitting emotions that can inspire all around you. You know, and it's not just about playing the game, it's about dealing with off-field stuff. And, you know, Jimmy Finnegan would have had to deal with a lot there with the negotiations in accepting or getting a replay for that game. But I think a replay was the fair result. Aidan, you know, Galway wouldn't have, you know, you wouldn't want to be handed a game that you didn't win on the field, you know, and they didn't win the game on the field. And, you know, there was a lack of communication, so much confusion. And,
they wouldn't want to have won the game anyway under such controversy, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be like a cloud hanging over them.
Yeah.
But the fact that it went to a replay was made it fair, because, you know, they had earned it in the replay then, and it was legitimately won.
Yeah.
In the replay.
And you know it as well. Like, we've seen other incidents in Gaelic football where there was controversy at the end of match. For example, the 2010 Leinster final with Laois or Meath and Louth. You know, there was a similar sort of a situation at the end of that game. And, you know, a replay would have been, I think, a good, you know, result as well. Like, at least a replay for Louth, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, we spoke about that before, all right, and that was... The most unusual goal, but they got away with it, and they didn't offer to give a replay, and the GA didn't order a replay. So,
no.
You know, in fairness, Louth were done. Remember that year? I think it was 2010.
Yeah.
That was another controversial game. That was another game that definitely should have went to a replay.
It should have,
really robbed.
And that cloud still remains in, really, you know, over that game. You know, there's a cloud over Meade's success in that match, and everybody, the minutes mentioned, you know, if Galway didn't give a replay, we'd be still talking about being robbed in that game, you know, and I think we have a fair case, because we were presented with the prize by the people who ran it, you know, and it was a difficult one for everybody concerned. There's no question about it. Like, but it's great. Common sense prevailed in the end, and the two teams went back at it, and it showed, I think, it's good precedent, because look at, we're all human beings run these matches, you know, and where there are sort of ambiguities or confusion in the matches, where there's no clear cut answer on the day, I think a replay is the fair solution, if possible, you know, to bring about justice. Paddy Francis Dwyer, that's the word he used, was justice, and justice was done in the end. We got the replay, and Roscommon showed, you know, great resolve and character. And again, we have to give credit to Jimmy Finnegan for the
definitely. And I suppose really, when you think about it, you know, you're the manager of a team. The team you're leading, as you just said there, the team that you're leading, whatever that team does, if the team or a player, you know, does something wrong, you know, be it off the field or on the field, you know, the player is representing Roscommon. So, you know, it reflects on the manager as well and the other player. So, you know, if a player does something wrong, they're not only letting themselves down, they're letting everyone else involved down as well, which would have been sad, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but again, we talk about leaders, and in any organisation, the leader sets the tone and the culture for the organisation. So that's my experience. No matter what organisation you're in, the leader sets the tone and the culture of an organisation and the culture of a team and the culture of a squad. And you see, you see a manager who's got a, you know, very, very, who's a disciplinarian, who keeps a tight rein on his squad in football, be it soccer, rugby, whatever. You see teams that have very, very tight reins on managers with very tight reins on their, on discipline, you know, in terms of their squad and everything else. And, you know, it reflects on the players. Like the players reflect the manager's philosophy. The manager's philosophy on the style of play, the manager's philosophy on his attitude to the game and the culture that he imbues in his organisation or in his team. And, you know, that's why some managers can get more out of teams than others, because they demand it and they have a stricter regime and they're able to get inside fellas' heads. You know, we take Ferguson at United, for example. You know, very, very strict regime. Very, very demanding of his players. Nothing but the highest standards, and time after time after time, they came up with the same results. And, you know, it's constant. You see these great managers; they're successful no matter where they go. Like Klopp was successful at Dortmund, he's successful at Liverpool. You know, Stephen Kenny, very good at Langford Town, very good at Bohemians, very good at Derry City. Then he was very good, you know, he did pretty good at Dunfermline, got to the Scottish Cup final. You know, they beat Celtic and Rangers on the way to the Scottish Cup final. They lost eventually. And then he was brilliant with Dundalk. So it's not a coincidence that these top managers, like Anthony Cunningham, very good at Galway. You know, he was at Dublin as well, come into Roscommon last year, very, very good. Fergal O'Donnell. It's consistent. The managers bring their philosophy and their culture wherever they go, and Mick O'Dwyer, and it's imbued in the squads that they have, and what's the manager's job going in? To get the best out of the players available to him, all the players available to him, and these guys have it, you know. So Jimmy Finnegan deserves brilliant credit, Lord of Mercy, for what he did in with the Roscommon team in 1989, and he instilled that. Obviously, I didn't know the man, but it's clear from that team's performances against Galway that he instilled a great culture and a great belief in them, you know.
And of course, as we know, that season they went on and they played, as you mentioned there earlier on in the show, they went on to the All Ireland semi final where they met a very good Derry team, and they lost that day as well. But it was a serious Derry team that day.
It was, Aidan. Now it was one of the best minor teams, I'd say, that ever played football, because that Derry team went on to, you know, most of those guys went on to win All-Ireland Seniors in 2000, and, or 1993 rather. And Roscommon played Derry on the 13th of August, 1989, in Croke Park. And it was the curtain raiser to Tyrone playing Mayo in the All-Ireland Senior semi-final. Now, this game was just 11 days after the replay, so there had to be a physical, psychological and emotional laden hangover from the replay, I'd say, on the Roscommon side, because they didn't do justice to themselves. And we lost that game by, Roscommon lost that game by 4-16 to 1-7. So the report says Derry Miners turned on the style in the second half of the All-Ireland semi-final at Croke Park on Sunday, scoring 4 goals and 9 points in the second half to overwhelm Roscommon by a massive 18-point margin. So Derry were Ulster champions for the 5th time in 9 years. So it just showed the dominance they had at that time. And not only did they have dominance at minor, they also had dominance at colleges football. St Pat's Mahara, I think they won the All-Ireland colleges in 89 as well. You know, they were dominated by all those players that played for Pat's Mahara were in this team. And I remember Pat's Mahara beat St Mel's in the All-Ireland semi-final in 1989 up in, where was it? I think it was in Cavan. But Derry, you know, the fifth time in 9 years, they were given a stern workout in the first half. And Roscommon were inspired by Shane Curran. And Roscommon led in by 1-5 to 7 points at the break. But it was all one-way traffic in the second half, with goals with Dermot Heaney and James Lynn in 36 and 38 minutes. So, you know, Shane Curran scored 3 points, Colm Kelly scored a goal, Patrick Lennon got 2 points, Paul Carty got a goal, and Fergal O'Donnell got a point. And the Roscommon team was Damien Craven, Paul Grafferty, Sean Staunton, Leo Shiel, Paul Owens, Paddy Kelly, Martin Costello, Fergal O'Donnell, Lurkin Dowd. Now, Lurkin Dowd was back. He missed the replay because of suspension, because he was sent off in the first game.
Yeah.
In the Connacht final. And then Stephen Drury, Shane Curran, Derek Duggan, Paul Carty, Colm Kelly, Patrick Lennon, and then Frank McNamara came on for Stephen Drury. So Eddie Ennis didn't get a run out in Croke Park. The referee was a guy called Orr Maloney from Limerick. But the Derry team, Im O'Connor, Jay Martin, P. McAllister, G. Simpson, then B. McGonigal, Gary Coleman, Orr Skelly, J. Mulholland, Anthony Toll, and then the forwards, Orr McIldowney, Jay Lynn, Eamon Burns, Eunan O'Kane, Dermot Healy, and Declan Bateson. And then Carl Diamond came on in the second half, and Orr Murphy. So there was five or six of those guys in that got all Ireland medals. In 1993.
Carl Diamond actually was a great player for Derry that year in 93. He was one of their
manager. Ian McCormack.
Another kind of one of those special special managers that had a great way with players and had a great way of getting the best out of players.
Yeah.
And I suppose that was key to them winning the All Ireland that year as well. But you know, I know that they had players like Joe Brawley and, you know, I suppose
James
Downey, you could go
Henry,
on and Henry, of course Enda Gormley and that you know, their midfield as well was excellent as well. So, you know,
they had Damien McCusker in goals, and then they had Kieran McKeever, very, very good cornerback. They had Tony Scullion, and then Gary Coleman, and then they had Johnny McGurk, Henry Downey, and Fergal McCusker, Brian McGilligan, and Anthony Toll.
He was great for praise as well.
Yeah. And then you had Dermot Heaney, Damien Barton, Damien Cassidy, Joe Brawley, Seamus Downey, and Enda Gormley. So
then, you know, it's no consolation, but there's no disgrace in losing to a quality team.
Oh, no.
That was a quality area
that semi-final. Yeah. And then the Roscommon minor team won the first round of the championship against Sligo on the 2nd of July 1989. And again, they won that game by 14 points to 1-6. And it was a great midfield partnership of Fergal O'Donnell and Lurkin Dowd, etc. was coming up for a less than convincing victory over Sligo. You know, they weren't that convincing. So Sligo did not have the players with the physique to cope with O'Donnell and Dowd, and that was their downfall. Although Sligo had sufficient chances early in the game to put pressure on Roscommon. Roscommon led at the break by 7 points to 3, and all of their six forwards got on the score sheet, with Stephen Drury, Shane Curran, and Derek Duggan very impressive. So that was the first round of the championship in 1989 against Sligo. That Roscommon won that day. And the same day, Roscommon seniors beat Sligo by 4-11 to 1-8. I remember it was a very, very sunny day, and that was in 1989. Paul Early scored 2-2. Eamon Junior got 1-2. Vincent Glennon got 4 points. Tony McManus scored a goal. Michael Donnan got 2 points. And Seamus Killorden scored a goal. And my club mate Tommy Deehan played left half forward in that championship match. And Tommy was a great player here with Kilglascale. Yeah. So he played his one and only championship match for Roscommon in that match. He played left half forward. He came off in the second half. Jerry Craig came on for him. Jerry was from Boyle. Jerry's a great footballer as well. So Tommy played for us for many, many years. He's a brilliant player, very powerful man. His cousin John Deehan was a famous soccer player in England. He played for Norwich and Man City and Ipswich and Aston Villa, West Bromwich Albion. He's manager of Norwich as well at one stage. So Tommy's great, great hero in this area here in Glass, Rooski, Stata area, you know. He's a great footballer.
That's it. And of course, Paul Owens as well, who was on that team. He was actually a neighbour of ours as well.
Is that right? Yeah. He played rugby league for Ireland, didn't he?
That's right. And he's now living over in America.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Another man that played Aidan in 89 for Roscommon Senior was Johnny Dowd. He was full back. He was from the Gales. He was a very good player as well. He was on the minor team in 84.
Oh, I remember him. Yeah, he was a serious player. That
great footballer, yeah.
Serious player, all right.
Yeah. So I'll give you the Roscommon team for the senior in 89. Paul Staunton in goals, Matty Riley, Johnny Dowd, Des Newton, Pádraig Guckey, Roscommon Gales, Pádraig McNeil and Paul Hickey. then Seamus Killorn and Donald Brady, Vincent Glennon, Eamon Jr. and Tommy Deehan, Michael Dunn and Paul Early and Tony McManus. And the subs were Andy Leyland for Tony McManus, Gary Wynn for Pádraig McNeill and Gerry Craig for Tommy Deehan. So that was the Roscommon senior teammate that beat Sligo by 4-11 to 1-8 in the Connacht semi-final, senior semi-final in 1989.
That's it. Well, of course, as we know, the Roscommon Miners got their reward in 2006 when Fergal O'Donnell was in charge of them. You know, they won the county minor in 2006. So, it just goes to show you that eventually when, you know, with players coming through over the years, that, you know, when you keep working hard, you can win in All Ireland. Of course, it's not easy winning All Ireland, but, you know, if you work hard and you have the players coming through, eventually, you'll be rewarded, isn't that right, Ray?
Sure, Aidan, and Fergal was a brilliant manager, and he's been, you know, in football such a long time, and he's exactly the type of manager I was just talking about earlier. He's been successful everywhere he's gone, even with Western Gaels. The level of performance they had was amazing. This year they were unlucky last week against Clan are a very good team, and I wouldn't be surprised if Clan win the championship. You know, I think they're a really, really good team. Carl Shine is in serious form, but Fergal, brilliant manager. He brought them to the promised land of winning the All Ireland in 2006. But you know something, Aidan? Last weekend in the club championship, so many of those players from 2006 were performing brilliantly for their clubs. You take Niall Carty for Pádraig Pearses. Take Stephen Ormsby for Foyles. Keith Waldron was outstanding for St Aidan's. He got the winning point. He ran the length of the field. It was a brilliant score. Then you had James McCaig was outstanding for Craig's. He had a tough day at the office against Dara Walsh, but he was very, very good. Then you had Kilmore at Paul and Colm Garvey were tremendous as well. So, and then David Flynn was playing for Clannagale in the captain of the team at 06 was playing for Clann. So all of those players, you have to admire their longevity and that they're still producing the goods. You know, at 32 years of age, they're still there and playing brilliantly. And, you know, none better than maybe Paul Garvey scored 2-4 for Kilmore against St Aidan's, and Keith Waldron got an absolutely unbelievable point to win it for St Aidan's. You know, so it's great to see all those players still producing such quality football.
I suppose really it's down to the fitness levels that's required now, you know, that, you know, players have to be so much fitter now, and, you know, preparation for games and all that is, you know, it's a lot higher than kind of maybe back then or whatever, you know, we say pre-2000s even, you know, match preparation is more scientific and, you know, it's all strength and conditioning now, which is, you know, so that's probably the secret to put it. Although, you know, it can also lead to some players retiring early as well, but some players stick at it and with their clubs and all that. And as I say, you know, players like that, like you just mentioned there can, you know, can benefit from that. And I suppose it, you know, it depends on the, you know, the quality of the team as well and the leadership and I suppose, you know, keeping interested in it as well, isn't it?
Well, it's credit to the players individually who looked after themselves so well. I forgot to mention Paul Gleeson playing for Roscommon Gaels, Mark Miley for St Dominic's. So you had Mark Miley playing last year for Dominic's, you had Paul Gleeson for the Gaels, Niall Carty was playing, Stephen Ormsby, David Flynn, Colm Garvey, Paul Garvey, Kevin Higgins was playing for Western Gaels, Aidan. You know, you had James McCaig. Then, you know, you had Donnie Shine, unfortunately, was injured. Cian Smith is now the manager of Kilmore, so he's still involved. I'm trying to think of the other forwards like that played that time, you know. So you had some great, great players like Colm, Paul Garvey on that minor team, you know, and they're still at this stage producing the goods 14 years on. It's a credit to them. You have to admire them. Admire their longevity and what they're doing.
That's it, and it's good to see it, and long may it continue with the you know, the current crop of miners when they're coming through, you know, when they get to that age as well, that they'll be still doing a great job for their clubs at that age.
I forgot about Conor Devaney. I think he scored 2-4 from right half back. Conor Devaney, you're talking about the forwards: James McCaig, Conor Devaney, Donnie Shine, Paul Garvey, So there's nearly all the players from that era. Oh yeah, David Keenan was playing for St. Barry's earlier on the season. Now, David had a bad injury there a couple of years ago. I think last year he broke his leg and he came back this year, and I think so it's good to see him back, and hopefully he'll be back from back to full fitness in the not too distant future as well, Aidan, you know. So David Keenan was an inspirational leader for Roscommon as well in the middle of the field with Kevin Higgins back in 2006. So it's great to see nearly them all still playing, you know. It's brilliant, you know. So credit to them, credit to Fergal for O'Donnell for what they did with that team, you know, his backroom team. Paul, was it Paul Hoare, Stephen Bohan, Mark Dowd? So they're a great backroom team as well, you know. So but 89, Aidan, you know, you have to give credit to that team, credit to Jimmy Finnegan. Just a word on Jimmy Finnegan. You know, he was a member of that team that won the under-21 All-Ireland in 66, Aidan, that we covered a few weeks back.
That's right.
He was on the member of that team in 72, that won the Great Connacht Championship that we covered as well in Castlebar, you know, they beat Mayo 5-8-3-10. You know, he was a selector with John Tobin in 2001 when Roscommon beat Mayo. And he was the Roscommon minor manager in 1989. So Danny Burke said that Jimmy Finnegan was a great man to talk to about football. He possessed a great footballing brain. Danny says he worked with him at underage level, and he was a huge asset to Castlereagh St. Kevin's. Young players looked up to Jimmy. He was like a father figure to them. So his son Niall was a very good player as well for Castlereagh. And Niall Finnegan, he used to play centre back. He was a very strong man. He was on minor teams under 21s. I think he'd a run with the senior team at one stage, but he was a very, very strong player. So Jimmy Finnegan was one of that great Castlereagh crop of senior footballers in the early 70s, you know, with Adrian O'Sullivan, Martin Silk, Mickey Frayn, Harry Keegan, John Curran, you know, Tom Heenahan. You know, they were all, you know, with that Roscommon team in 72. So we think about Jimmy Finnegan and his family, Aidan, and give him the great credit for keeping that Roscommon minor team together in adversity in 1989 when they were awarded a cup, stripped of the championship, and then having to go back and do it all over against Galway 10 days later and come out winning it again. So may he rest in peace. That's all I can say.
And of course our thoughts and prayers are with his family and friends at this difficult time, and that comes from myself and yourself and everyone at the station. So that was a lovely way to wind up this week's Roscommon GAA Memories.
Absolutely, that's brilliant. We'll talk to you again.
No problem, thanks very much. And that was former Roscommon goalkeeper Ray Lannan taking us through the 1989 Connacht final between Galway and Roscommon.